Welcome to another inspirational message from a guest speaker at James River Church. It is our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Greetings from Colorado, right? I'm so glad to be here, and I'm so grateful that you're a church that allows your pastor and his wife to go away and get some rest. And can we just say thank you for Pastor John, Pastor Debbie, and all they've done. And you got a great pastor here. And I swear, Pastor Brandon is the image of his father. I just noticed that when he was up here. I said, that's John 20 years ago, right? And I love Pastor Brandon. Thank you for your heart for the church. And hey, by the way, there is a really special guest here today. My mom drove from Louisiana to be here today, all right? So is that awesome? Can we say my mom's right over here? There she is. Hi, Mom. And my brother, Dave, and his three boys, they attend James River. So I have family that attend the church here, so I get regular reports how awesome you are. Baylor, Benjamin, and Briggs all attend here, part of your youth group. So I love this church. And by the way, my mom hit a deer coming up here yesterday, right? I just smacked it. Why are you crying for the deer? You should be worried about my mom, right? The deer is okay. It limped off into the woods. Big, the car is a mess. But other than that, my mom's fine. So it's good to see her. And I want to do well because my mom's listening, all right? So, anyway, open up your Bible to two places, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11 and John chapter 5. Or Luke chapter 5. Matthew 11 and Luke chapter 5. I am grateful that Pastor John and Pastor Debbie are away this weekend getting some rest. I know you've had a really busy stretch. You had an amazing women's conference. And I talked to Pastor John this week and I said, I'm so grateful. This is perfect timing for me to share this message because you're away getting some rest. And the title of this message this morning is Addicted to Busy. It's a book that I just wrote. And I wrote it out of a lot of pain and a lot of victory in my own life about being just stretched too thin. And I said, Pastor John, I'm so grateful that you and Debbie are modeling something for the church, that you're getting away, you're refueling, you're refreshing, so that when he comes back here next Sunday, he's going to be full of what God's doing in his life and giving it to you, all right? So I'm grateful that you're a church that allows that here in your congregation. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about this Jesus rhythm of living, the rhythm that Jesus gave us. So I want to do a little poll this morning. I want to find out who I'm talking to. How many of you this morning, let's take off our church mask, let's be honest, confession's good for the soul. How many of you this morning would say you're pretty busy right now? That your life, if I were to define your life, it was probably controlled chaos. It's like a roller coaster that won't stop. Come on, keep your hands lifted. You're going to feel better after this, after you raise your hand, okay? How many of you would say that you are so rested that you could not be more rested ever in your life? Raise your hand. Like you're at that spot where rest is just coming wave after wave and just nap after nap, right? Come on, come on. And don't tell me that you normally do that during the sermon. So just stop that, all right? So you're going to have to stay awake during this sermon, all right? But that's the reality for most of us. That most of us are on a perpetual roller coaster, chaotic, controlled, messy, fast-paced life. That's where most of us are. The American culture tells us that if you're going to be successful, you got to keep the foot on the pedal. You've got to go fast. You got to work harder. You got to get there earlier. You got to stay later. You got to do more in order to become more. And yet Jesus, we're going to see something today in the scriptures where Jesus showed us a rhythm for living. Now I'm going to say something this morning and it's going to sound a little strong, but I'm going to say it to the strength that I feel it. Because in 20 years of pastoral ministry, meeting with people, loving people, caring for my congregation, I've found this to be true what I'm about to say. And I'm assuming it's true here as well. I believe most of our problems, most of the problems that we're facing when you walked in the room this morning, most of our problems are either caused or made worse because we're moving too fast for too long. And I believe that an unhealthy pace, the pace that we're choosing to live our lives, an unhealthy pace of living is one of the biggest causes, the greatest threats to living a healthy life in a Christ-following way. I believe that most of the problems that we see in our marriage, most of the marriage problems we have is because the husband and the wife are running past one another in a state of controlled chaos, running so fast, so furious, that there's no time for real intimacy in their marriage. Marriages take time. Marriages are like crock pots. They're not like microwaves. And we have to marinate in our marriage in order for it to be good. In fact, most of us, if we were honest, our date nights are more management meetings than romantic interludes away. I mean, that's the if you're even having a date night. Most of our date nights end up being opening our calendars and trying to sync up our lives, trying to figure out how to make it all work, instead of looking at one another and having what I call unhurried conversations. Would you write that phrase down? Because this is a topic that we're going to look at today, and it's going to fit into the rhythm of what we're saying. I was just talking to one of the pastors backstage, and we were talking about this, and he said, you know, our lives, and I told him, our lives are very rhythmic. Our hearts beat at a rhythm. We breathe at a rhythm. Everything about us is based on a rhythm of living. And one of the reasons that we have severe health problems is because we're forcing our bodies and our minds to go at a rhythm different than the way God gave us. When you're tired, you should sleep. When you're hungry, you should eat good food. There's a rhythm to our living. There's a rhythm to our bodies. And you know this, that stress, the stress of life is the number one cause for disease in America. The stress, because what stress does is it's pushing your body outside normal rhythms of living. And so we abuse our bodies, we abuse the rhythm of life, and then our bodies disease themselves because we're pushing and pushing and pushing and ignoring rest, ignoring healthy eating, ignoring healthy rhythms, which lead to unhealthy lives. And I'm going to show you this rhythm that Jesus gave us. So it's not only true in our marriage, but it's true with our money. If you were honest, most of the mistakes that we've all made with our money is because of getting in a hurry or making decisions when we're really tired. Do you know what the number one hour of the day? Now, marketing research has proven that there's one particular hour during the day where people are most prone to making impulsive, unwise spending choices. You know what this hour is? It's really going to be helpful to you. There's one hour during the day where marketing strategists have said people are most prone to making unwise choices with their money. You know what that hour is? 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. is the hour in the day where most people are most prone to making impulsive, unwise choices with their money. Why? Because we're tired. And we tend to get in a hurry. We tend to push ourselves. And so most of the mistakes we've made buying houses, buying cars, buying stuff we didn't need is because we got in a hurry. We didn't do due diligence. We felt pressured and we felt rushed into a decision only to regret it later. And every man in the room, all of us as men in the room today, we know we need friendship. We know we need friends. We need fathers and brothers and sons in our lives, right? That's the healthy rhythm for manhood, is to have fathers, have brothers, and have sons speaking into our lives, that we're speaking into their lives, we're living alongside them. But the problem with friendships is it takes time. So if you're going to have a great job and be successful at your job, if you're going to be successful in your marriage, if you're going to spend the time with your children that you need to spend to be a good dad, there's hardly any time left over to be friends with other men. And so most of the men I know are living very lonely, isolated lives simply because we don't have time for the extended friendships that are needed for us to be healthy and whole as men. So time plays a role. The way we're spending our time, the way we're using our time, plays into our marriage, into our money, into our friendships. And yet I believe there's two reasons. Write these two things down because I think it's going to be great lunchtime conversations for you. There's two big reasons why people stay busy. We know we don't need to be so busy. We all know that. If I say, how many of you know you need to slow down? All of you would raise your hand. I would raise my hand. But there's two big reasons why we don't slow down. You ready? And you need to know this. Number one, if I'm busy, I'm important. I mean, when was the last time if you were to ask me, say, hey, Brady, what'd you do yesterday? I didn't do anything. I slept late. I ate what I wanted. Took a nap. Went to bed. I didn't really do anything. What you got planned this week? Not a lot. I mean, I've got a few things going, but, you know, when you talk like that, it just makes you seem, number one, not very interesting, and number two, not very important. And the reason most of us crowd our schedule and we're quick to point out how busy we are is because we're trying to convince people that we are important, that we're needed, that we're up front, that we have this big need in our life to be at the front of every line, to do everything first. All right, but here's a bigger reason. It's a much deeper reason, but you need to know this. If I slow down, the number two reason why we stay busy is that if I slow down, I'll have to be honest with what's really happening in my life and in my heart. As I'm writing this book, Addicted to Busy, I'm standing in front of a couple in my office whose marriage is falling apart, and the wife said to me, I know our marriage is a mess. I know it. I'm broken, he's broken, we're broken, the marriage is broken. And we simply keep our lives so busy, so chaotic, because if we slow down, then what we're going to have to do is address the real issues of our heart. So we medicate ourselves and we keep ourselves from having these honest, healthy conversations by staying really busy. So at the end of the day, we fall into our bed asleep. We wake up early and go fast and furious the next day, because if we ever slow down and look in the mirror, we're going to be afraid of what we see as a reflection. And this is what the enemy, listen very carefully, the enemy wants to keep you so busy with the details of your life that you have no room for the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak into the deeper issues of your heart. We have to slow down for God to speak to us. We have to slow down and pay attention for God to do deep works in our heart. And that requires time. It requires solitude. It requires rest. And I'm going to show this to you in Matthew chapter 11. Go to Matthew chapter 11 with me. And we're going to look at verses 28, 29, and 30. Jesus here makes us one of the four biggest promises that I think he ever makes the human race. So the promises, he promises to what? To bring us to salvation. That's the greatest promise he made us, is to make us, bring us to relationship to God. The second great promise that Jesus gave us was that he would send the Holy Spirit to us to be our comforter, to be our empowering presence. So he promised us the Holy Spirit. He promised us salvation. He promised us the Holy Spirit. And he promises us healing. That's amazing. We just prayed for people to be healed down front. That's a promise from Jesus that he said, I've come that you may, by the power of a cross and my resurrection, you can be healed. So those are three gigantic promises, right? Let me show you a fourth promise here in Matthew chapter 11. He says in verse 28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Now, I set you up for this a minute ago because I asked you to raise your hand. How many of you feel tired and burdened by life? Almost all of you raised your hand a while ago. So I set you up for this, all right? I'm sorry about that, but I want to tell you up front, I set you up for this scripture. But Jesus makes us an amazing promise here. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What a great, that's a promise. Jesus is making us a promise here that all of us, we just admitted 10 minutes ago that we all need this. And yet Jesus is the one who promised us to be the source of this rest. In verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Would you underline that in your Bibles? However it's said, the translation you may have may say it a bit differently. But he says, learn from me. Now, there's two ways that we learn from people, okay? There's two ways that we learn from another person. And Jesus says, learn from me. And so there's two ways to do that. Number one is we listen to what they say. But more importantly, we pay attention to what they do. That's the only way you learn from another human being, is to listen to what they say and to pay attention to what they do. So Jesus says, listen to what I'm about to tell you, but more importantly, watch the way I live my life. Pay attention to what I do, because I have a gift for you and I want to bless you with something. I have a promise for you. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, this is the way I teach my congregation at New Life to read the Bible, okay? Anytime Jesus makes us a definitive promise, like he did in verse 28, you will find rest for your souls. Come to me and learn. He says, you will find rest. Anytime Jesus repeats himself, he's yelling at us. He is like trying to get our attention. Jesus repeats himself here. He says, you will find rest. In verse 28, he says, I will give you rest. Verse 29, you will find rest. Listen to how Jesus is pleading with us, begging us to come into something. He's offering us a gift. It's like a pastor standing on the stage in front of people who don't know Christ. And you can hear the pastor's heart pleading with people, say yes to Jesus. Say yes to the gift of eternal life. This is Jesus literally standing in front of people that he adores, he loves, he cares about, and says, listen to me twice. I want to give you this rest. And you can't find it anywhere else. It's a gift from me to you. And all you have to do is say yes to it. Please come. I want to give you something that's going to save your life. This is the tone and the language that Jesus is using to all of us. Come to me. I want to give you rest. You will find it if you'll come to me. All right, go to Luke chapter 5 because I want to show you. So now you've heard what Jesus said. Remember, the only way to learn from someone is to listen to what they say and to watch what they do. All right, so we've heard now what Jesus said about rest, that he's the source, he wants to give it to us. Now let's watch what Jesus did. Does Jesus follow his own preaching? Does Jesus do what he said? Because that's a big deal to me, right? It should be a big deal to you. Do we practice what we preach? Do we live out what we teach? And so in Luke chapter 5, this is a fascinating part of the story of Jesus. Because in Luke chapter 5, Jesus has just been baptized, you know, down in the water, up from the water. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. I mean, that's an amazing time. The Holy Spirit, like a dove, descended upon Jesus. And then immediately in Luke chapter 4, he is led out into the wilderness where 40 days and 40 nights, he is alone with himself, with God, and he's fasting and he's praying. Satan comes to him after 40 days and tempts him with three very big temptations. Jesus overcomes those temptations. At the end of Luke chapter 4, beginning in Luke chapter 5, it says that Jesus comes out of the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. And look what happens in Luke chapter 5. All the stars line up. Amazing things begin to happen. And this is probably the most successful, beautiful time in the life of Jesus on the earth. Begins right here in Luke chapter 5. Now look at this. Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 15 and 16. And we're going to end with verse 17. In verse 15 it says, yet the news about him spread all the more. In other words, Jesus is blowing up social media right now. Hashtag Jesus is the real deal is just trending everywhere. Jesus is at the height of his public popularity here in Luke chapter 5. I mean, Jesus, everywhere he goes, he is the talk of every village, every countryside. Everywhere Jesus goes, crowds of people are showing up, and people are talking about him, excited about him. Now, I'm not trying to be less than sacred, but listen to me very carefully. There are some of you that are in the business world. A lot of you, most of you are not pastors on the staff here at James River. You have jobs, J-O-B, just above broke. Get that? So just over broke. So understand jobs. I came out of the business world into the pastoral world. I helped run companies. Then I went into training to be a pastor and I became a pastor. So I understand both worlds, okay? I understand what it means to be in the real world and understand what it means to be a pastor of a local church. Here's the deal. This was business at its best. Jesus had more customers than he could take care of. This was at the height of their busy season, if you want to use business language. This is when there was no time to take a day off. It was like being in retail during the Christmas season. You don't take vacation. That's when business is booming. That's when you have to stay super engaged. So what I'm about to show you in the life of Jesus is one of the most countercultural things I could talk to you about today in the American culture. It says, the news about him spread all the more. And then listen carefully. It says, and crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Not only did Jesus have crowds of people gathering around him, but they came with real legitimate needs in their lives. These are needy people, sick people, people that needed Jesus. So again, in the business language, customers showing up ready to buy what you're selling. A busy time. No time to take a day off. And I know I can feel it from you because I felt the same thing when I shared this message with my congregation. I could feel all the business people, all the people that are in the real world shrink back from me and say, Pastor Brady, that's really cute, really nice what you're saying. But I am in one of the busiest times of my life. I just started this business, and I used my savings to start this business. Or I work for an absolute tyrant who won't let me take, he doesn't even want to hear me ask for a vacation. Or I'm in the middle, my company is experiencing recession right now, and they're choosing the employees to lay off and choosing the employees to keep. And if I go and ask for time off, if I ask for any space, any kind of rest, I may get put in the bad group. I don't want to be laid off. So I understand all the pressure you're feeling right now. Jesus understood this. And so in the middle of the busiest time, when things were going amazing for Jesus, crowds of people showing up ready to be healed, look at verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. Now remember, Luke is telling this story based on verbal stories that have been passed down to him. Luke is hearing this series of verbal stories and rewriting the book of Luke for us based on verbal accounts of the life of Jesus that have been passed to him. So Luke has heard this story, writes it down, and now it's scripture to us. It's canonized scripture to us. This story was often repeated about. This is not something that happened one time. This was a pattern with Jesus. So I want to look at this just for a few minutes. The first thing that Luke tells us is that he often withdrew. He often did this. This was normal for Jesus. This was a rhythm of Jesus living his life. Remember I said, pay attention to what Jesus says and pay attention to what Jesus does. If we're going to learn from Jesus how to live in this rest that he promised us, we have to listen to what he says, and we have to pay attention to what he does. And Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He did this on a regular basis. Let me just give you two things. There's four or five things that I could talk about today, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to give you two things that I believe if most people would embrace these two rhythms in their life, it would radically change the culture of your house. It would radically change the culture of the place where you work. It would radically invite a new work of the Holy Spirit into your life. There's two things, just two rhythms that if we would embrace these two, start with these two. Number one is the Sabbath, because Sabbaths are for rest. You cannot find the rest of God without embracing the gift of a Sabbath. And I don't believe that Sabbaths are a legalistic day. It's not some duty that we have to say yes to. It's a gift that we have to receive. And I know what you're feeling. I can feel it from you. Brady, I can't do that. Listen, write this down and listen very carefully to me. We are not forsaking our responsibilities when we rest. It is for the sake of our responsibilities that we rest. It's not forsaking something. It's not shunning something. It's not being less than productive. In fact, if follow me around during the week, I work hard. This is not an excuse to be lazy. I'm not talking about, you know, moving to a commune and doing nothing. I'm talking about being more productive. I had a young man come up to me not long ago and said, Pastor Brady, we're living in the last days. We can't take days off. Listen, it's for the sake of the last days that we take days off. And I was funny because last night I was checking into the hotel where I'm staying down the road. And so I was checking in and the lady said, oh, by the way, here's your room. And we have happy hour every night from 5. Oh, she said, oh, I see you're a guest of James River. So I guess you won't be coming to happy hour. And I said, well, I don't know what happy hour is. I said, but every hour is happy for me. I think, and by the way, the happiest hour in Springfield is at tomorrow morning at James River Church. That's a happy hour. That's a two happy hours in a row right there. So it was really funny because she just assumed I didn't want to come to happy hour. You don't want to come to happy hour. You're a guest of James River. I said, listen, I believe that, and it brought all these thoughts to me. The world says that this is the way you find rest. This is the way you unwind. But God says, my gift to you is Sabbath living. And so pick a day. Pick a day. Pick a day on your calendar every week and say, this is the day, my family. This is the day I am going to do something really countercultural. And here's what you're doing when you say yes to the Sabbath. Sabbath, by choosing Sabbath, we are protesting and rebelling against our innate desire to trust and worship our self-sufficiency. One of the most radical decisions you can make as a Christ follower is to say, I am not God. He is God. Christ is Lord. Jesus is my King. He's the one that found me. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that filled me with the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brought me into His glorious kingdom. I am not of this world. I live in this world. I'm a pilgrim of this world. I am a sojourner, and therefore as a citizen of a much better kingdom, I choose to follow the ways of my Christ and not the ways of the world. And therefore, I am pulling away from what the world says is the key to success and saying yes to what I know God says is the key to success. And I am pulling away on this day. This day is God's. I give it to the Lord because He can do more in 6 days than I can in seven. And by an act of faith, I am stopping my work. That's what Sabbath is. It's radical. You want to be radical for Jesus? Embrace the Sabbath. You can't afford not to take the Sabbath. Listen to me very carefully. You cannot afford not to take the Sabbath. And I'm not legalistic about it. I mean, sometimes we'll have a ball game on that day. For our family, Saturday is the Sabbath. We just made that day. And some weeks it changes, but most days, Saturday. Well, for us, when our kids were young, and all the super moms were competing to have their kids be the most awesome kid in the planet, we made a decision not to be super mom and super dad. So our kids could do one thing and the local church. That was it. Local church has always been on the list. So therefore, we don't do club sports, even though I have a very athletic daughter who got invited to every club, because we're local church people. And by choosing the local church, we had to say no to something else. And by saying yes to our convictions, we had to say no to what the world told us would be successful. So our kids didn't do three different foreign languages and all those things at 4 years old. And they weren't in every super club because we made a decision to honor the Sabbath with our families. Now my kids now are 14 and 16 years old. You ask them what is one of the core convictions of our family. And they said, time together, rest. You know why a lot of kids go into seasons of rebellion when they get 18, 19, 20 years old? Because they don't know what to do with their free time. Listen very carefully to me, okay? This is what I just said was worth the price of admission this morning. The reason a lot of our kids go into seasons of rebellion is because they don't know what to do with free time. We haven't taught them to embrace rest. We haven't taught them to embrace the presence of God in their lives when they have nothing to do. Sabbath is training for our kids to hear God's voice, to respond to God's voice. And when we violate the Sabbath, we're taking away the gift of God to our kids to learn from God, to hear from God, to sit still before the Lord, to pray before the Lord. So our kids get older and suddenly they have this space of time and it should be filled with God, but they fill it with other things because they've never been taught to fill their empty time with the presence of Jesus. It's Sabbath does that for us. Sabbaths are for rest. Vacations are for recreation. I think we need to have vacation. Vacations are for fun. And we need to have fun. You know, right now in America, clinical psychologists have coined this phrase, the work martyr complex. This is what happens. Busyness has become this badge of honor. Right now in America, there are 400 million days of unused paid vacation in America. 400 million unpaid vacation days that are not being used in the American workforce because we have embraced instead a work martyr complex where busyness has become this badge of honor on our lives. Listen, I understand the devastating effects of alcohol on people's lives, and it's easy for a pastor to talk about alcoholism. When was the last time someone said, listen, workaholics have killed more church families than alcoholics? You can't trade one addiction for the other and expect different results. Workaholics kill church families more than alcoholics do. Because we got this busyness as a badge of honor that we put on. I'm working. Take some time. Go have some fun. And invite God into your fun. And vacations are not a substitute for missed sabbaticals, by the way. Because vacations are for fun and recreation. And it's not for rest. And if you don't believe me, take your kids down to Disney for 4 days and let me know how rested you are when you get back. Right, Pastor Brandon? Right? Pastor Brandon's got three kids under the age of five or four. And he'll tell you, vacations with your kids are not restful. They are fun. They're not restful. Sabbaths are for rest. Vacations are for fun. And it's these two very important rhythms. If we would just embrace that, you would find health and healing for your marriage and for your friendships, for the money decisions you're making. This is the invitation Jesus is giving us. So Jesus often withdrew, number two, to lonely places. He often withdrew to lonely places. You know what that word lonely means? It means unattached places. Places where his cell phone did not work. Where he could not get data. Where the screen went off. You know, I love the commercial on TV where the guys are all have their cell phones up in the air and they're looking for a place to camp. And they're driving around the mountains. And when they finally get to a place where all their cell phones did not have a signal, that's where they camped. That's what I'm talking about. We have to get our faces out of our devices in order to get close to God and see the face of God. The reason we can't see the face of God is our faces are planted in this digital device. Get to a place where you disconnect. I left my phone at home a few months ago, and I promise you, I panicked like I'd left my kid at Walmart. I mean, it terrified me. I didn't have my phone. And I didn't know how to use the phone in the office because there's too many buttons. Have you ever used one of those things with a cord? I mean, it's been for years since I've even dialed that thing. It's a total waste of money at our church. I didn't know how to use it. I had to go ask for the code to get out. And how do you use this? Terrifying moment. Where's my phone? And that's when I realized I kind of had a problem with that thing. Getting away, getting to a place where there is no other thing to do but talk and listen. Unhurried conversations is what I'm talking about. Where there's not a time, there's not a deadline. Listening and talking and sitting in silence. Just listening and talking, sitting in silence. This is what Jesus realized. Jesus was fully God and fully human. And he realized that for his sake, if Jesus needed to do this, if we are followers of Jesus, learners of Jesus, we have to often withdraw to lonely places. And listen to what he did. Jesus prayed. He says he often withdrew to lonely places to pray. Prayer is this. God will come in the middle of our chaos and talk to us. He does. God will talk to you anytime you want. He's ever present, right? He's ever present. He's omnipotent. He is omniscient. He understands our pace and our space. But prayer happens best when we withdraw to a place where we have no other idols to worship and where we only have one thing to listen to, and that's God. And it can be a few minutes every day. There are gifts every day. Listen, I want this week to watch for these opportunities when you're alone. And you can be quiet if you want. On a drive home, turn off the radio. Just be alone with the Lord. Watch the sun go down as you drive home. Pay attention to the road, but watch the sun go down too. But there are gifts all during our day, this gift of time and gift of space and gift of places where God wants to come and have conversations with us. It's the Holy Spirit beckoning us, calling us into the deeper waters with God, but it takes space and prayer and conversation. Prayer is talking and listening, listening and talking. It's a conversation. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue with God. And it requires time and space and intentionality. All right, go to verse 17, okay? Now in your Bibles, if you look at verse 15 and 16, they're together, right? And in a lot of your Bibles, there's a space, a gap between 16 and 17, like something new is happening, right? I think that's an error. It's a mistake. 16 to 17 should be together. Now look at verse 17. Verse 17, one day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. All right, stop for a minute. All of you that are in business, listen to me. I know what you're saying. If I do what you're telling me, I'm going to lose customers. I'm going to lose the opportunities to be profitable. I want you to notice that in verse 15, there were crowds of people that came to be with Jesus who had needs for healing in their body. In verse 16, he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Verse 17, there are crowds of people waiting on him. You see, what the issue is, who are you trusting for your dividends? Are you trusting your own work habits, your own work ethics? I believe in working hard. I work hard. I'm really productive. I work really hard. But I have discovered that when I pull away and trust the Lord with everything else, it actually multiplies. Verse 17, there are crowds of people waiting for him again. Right back again. By the way, Chick-fil-A is closed today. And I don't think they're struggling too much. Do you understand, and I'm not telling you to go to Chick-fil-A, I'm just telling you, what a countercultural thing for a company to do. Sundays are a gigantic day in the fast food business. Huge profits are lost when you close on Sunday in the fast food world. Yet from the very beginning, they closed. They said, you know what? We'll just spend the money we make in 6 days. Well, how's that worked out for them? Pretty good. I want Chick-fil-A right now. But I'm not getting Chick-fil-A today. Unless it's warmed over in my fridge, and I don't want that. You see, I'm telling you, I've got proof to tell you this. If you will choose this Jesus rhythm, Jesus will take what you give him and multiply it in front of you. If you choose to be your own God and do it on your own, let me know how that works out for you in 20 years. But when God, when Christ becomes King and Christ becomes Lord and you trust him with your time and you trust him with your company, watch him multiply it. Watch him do miracles in your life. Now listen to this. Listen to verse 17. Let me finish here. There were crowds of people that showed up there again in verse 17. And they were all sitting there. Look at the last part. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. What was verse 15? Go back to look up on your Bible. Verse 15 said, crowds of people came all needing healing for their bodies. There was no mention that Jesus laid hands on any of them and saw any healing. There may have been. There may have been some healings. We don't know, but it wasn't mentioned. Verse 15, crowds of people showed up. They needed healing in their bodies. No mention of miracles. Verse 16, I often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Verse 17, crowds of people came back, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal. All right, I'm going to give you one sentence, okay? And if I ever get invited back, I'm only asking you to remember one sentence from this sermon today, okay? So you'll hurt my feelings if you don't repeat this back to me whenever I see you again, okay? One sentence is all I'm... That's not too much to ask for one sentence, okay? It's like less than 12 words. You ready? When God is present in our rest, he becomes more present in our work. You cannot ignore God in your rest and expect him to be present in your work. He first invites us into his presence. He first extends the invitation to be with him. And then he says, now that you have come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, come to me. Now I'm going to go with you. And I'm going to be with you in your work. I am going to be present in your labors. I am going to multiply what you put your hands to. I am going to be powerful in your school. I'm going to be powerful in your business. I'm going to be powerful in your marriage. But the first invitation is not for me to go with you. The first invitation is for you to come to me and take this gift of rest so that when you go out into the world, I am with you. I am beside you. I'm an empowering presence in your life. That's the invitation the Lord's given you today. He's given it to me. I say yes to that. I've tried to do this on my own. And I'm a smart guy and I'm a hard worker and I can get a lot done on my own. But I have discovered after 47 years, I can get a lot more done when I am submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, inviting him into my life where he is King and he is Lord. You know, a lot of us want a Jesus Sunday with little sprinkles on top. I'm talking about living as Christ the King in my life. So I say no to the world and I say yes to Jesus. It's working out fairly good for me since I've made that decision. It'll save your life. Can we pray together this morning? Let's just close your eyes just for a moment. There are some hard choices that we need to make in this room right now. I can feel this. I sense this. There's some choices that we're going to, and they're choices of faith. It's going to require faith and obedience to do what I just said. It's going to require us to make some radical choices. And it's going to feel painful. It's going to feel scary. It's going to feel countercultural. It's going to go against the grain of what you've been taught in our culture. But I'm telling you, Jesus is inviting you into a new experience right now, a new reality of trusting Him, of knowing Him, so that you can go into the world and be salt and light, so you can go in the world and be a city set on a hill, so you can go in the world and be His ambassadors, that we so desperately need Christ ambassadors right now. We so desperately need salt and light in our world right now. But the reason most of us are not engaged in the calling of God on our life is that we're just so exhausted. What I'm saying to you today is going to release you into the fullness of ministry, into the fullness of your calling like never before. In order to do more, we're going to have to do less. And that's the invitation of the Holy Spirit. So, Father in heaven, we come right now. And I'm asking, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to come. Lord, I can't do this unless your Holy Spirit empowers me and awakens my imagination. Father, I cannot obey this unless I know your Holy Spirit is beside me, knowing your will and giving me the power to do your will. Father, I confess that I've made myself God of my life, but Lord, today I choose Jesus as Lord. I choose Christ as King. Father, today, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I just feel, I didn't do this in the first service. I have felt so burdened for men in this service. And guys, I think it starts with us. We have to set the tone for our homes. And so if you're a man here today and you're married or you have children, if you have a family, would you confess that out loud? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to invite God into our lives like never before. We're going to embrace this Jesus rhythm of living. We're going to work hard. We're going to have fun. We're going to rest well so that we can work hard and have fun. We're going to rest well, work hard, have fun. Rest well, work hard, have fun. That's the rhythm that Jesus invites us into. And men, we can set the tone in our homes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, thank you for what you're doing in this church. I'm so grateful that you're ever present with this congregation of people in Springfield and Ozark and throughout Missouri. Father, bless this house. Bless them. Bless them with your rest so that you can bless them in their work. In Jesus' name, amen.
This concludes the teaching. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information on James River resources, please visit jamesriver.org.